Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Classical music, isn't it? As ever, we start in ham-fisted fashion. Happy Christmas, everyone. This is the Red News Christmas podcast.
I can't even hear that.
Okay. Oh, Nick doesn't like this song. Right, this is the... We're on our second pint after walking. A hell of a lot today. Thank you, everyone who has donated. It's open until the end of the month for Manchester Mind. United came out. They were very kind. They came out with turkey sandwiches. They came out with pork pies, mustard. They said, do you want pickle? They chose Stilton. They had port. They said, do you want to sit on these ivory chairs? And in fact, United did nothing, which is to be expected, apart from grief on a security guard who was all right. But his first reaction was to, what are you doing here? I have to okay it with my boss, even though we'd okayed it with the boss. And just a bit of love. Like, Nick's taking a photo of the Here to Help booth.
Can we have that
and
as
like,
a podcast picture?
The club that we love. And I know we question them, but you think there were about, at one stage collectively, 20 donuts walking around. It would have been nice just to wave, but ever it was. This thing we love so much has such sometimes a one-way relationship. But anyway, we've done well. Like 7 hours walking, Nathan's absolutely smashed it. It went quicker for me, I have to say, because individually it's harder. So because there were so many coggies come, there were so many nice people. Like, spent time. It was just lovely. And two things that stand out. One, my conversation to Nick was, do you know that they filmed a softcore porn production on the forecourt in the 80s of three ladies getting their kit off, and it was like done in the worst but it's made me think, I'm going to send it to Nick, and anyone listening wants that link. It is so bad, but it's of its time. But on the forecourt, we're getting questioned for a charity walk, and then 40 years ago there were three ladies getting their kit off. And then Nick went, I don't even know what it means, even though I wrote it down. He went, I said we've got to be positive about something. And he went, yeah, PVO. And he went, you know what that means. And I went,
that's not how the conversation
went. Right, go on.
I just basically said, you know, like the youngsters say, PVO. And he looked at me like I had three heads. And I went, positive vibes only. That's what the kids say these days. I don't say it.
Did.
Well, I did, yeah, but, you know.
PVO. Positive vibes only.
My hate of the ongoing, we can do big ones here, hate of the year and love of the year, is when I was on about Jamie Carragher the other night, when Southampton, I watched a little bit of it. I don't like watching other teams, especially that lot. And he went, Carragher went, everything, there was a foul on Liverpool. That's a foul. Then Southampton had a penalty. And he went, oh, that's not a penalty. It's just like, what are you doing? Do you know social media has many, many, many ills? But through the power of social media, I discovered only 17 episodes of Hong Kong Phooey were ever made. And Scatman Crothers, singer, actor, shining, extraordinaire, was the voice. How did I not know those two things combined? Right, hello, Coggy.
Hello, how you doing?
Are you feeling festive?
Do you know something? There's a little Christmas party going on in... In the pub that we're in, and I'm just admiring
the scenery.
All the well-dressed men in their dicky bows and nice suits and everything. There's some women there as well. I never noticed those.
See, I'm too enthralled in your conversation to be rude to be looking away.
I can multitask. That's your problem.
I can't.
You can't multitask. I am feeling very festive. I love December. Because everything I do for Christmas is in November, so I can just enjoy the moment.
Well, you've got your boy coming back for Christmas.
No idea. He said he might do, and then I don't know. But hopefully
he's been in Australia.
He's in Australia, but hopefully he'll be coming back.
That would be lovely. Like a film, like Your Love Actually, which is
oh yeah.
Get back onto what's his name.
Do you know,
Oh, I'll just hold a placard sharing my... I've said this every Christmas. I'll just share a placard sharing my undying love for my best mate's missus.
Nice. It's romantic.
That is not right.
It would. How's it not romantic?
Well, that's a bit sick.
He's putting himself out
right.
there. That's
so I'm staying at yours tonight. So I've got boards made in my jacket just saying, Eve, by the way, I love you. You're going to go, that's so romantic.
Boys,
if I had cards made for tomorrow morning saying, Eve, my undying love to you, by the way, how's Nick?
Well, yeah, well, that's still romantic. Yeah.
I like the film Love Actually, but that bloke with the boards is fucking dangerous. He would have been arrested a few weeks after that. After that, honestly, he would have been arrested for stalking. There's something wrong with that guy.
How can that be a mainstream romantic comedy? That's not funny. That's really dodgy ground.
That bit's not funny.
Okay.
He knows himself, that's why he walks away and goes, enough now. And that's what the quote is.
Yeah, because probably there's a copper in the next scene chasing him down the fucking street. Anyway, how's your Christmas vibes?
Yeah, you know, CVO, Christmas vibes only.
I've just walked for 7 hours. Don't do it.
Yeah, good, yeah. I like December because there's a... I don't know, a lot of people might disagree with this, but there's a lot of football. I love that. You know, obviously, it's midweek. It's, you know, it's weekend. It's a lot, isn't it? And we've got a fair few away games, which is nice. It's not just so intense of just, you know, relentless selling for example. Yeah, I like it, Neil. I like all the... I like festival
It's
football.
Relentless, though.
It is
like,
relentless,
I would have done
yeah.
three... My first... Paul does them all. This would be my first three games in 7 days for a while. And I just, obviously on top of today, I just feel knackered. I don't know, Welsh feels...
We've got about 10 games in December or something
yeah,
like that.
Nine.
And then February, obviously, goes yeah. mad. January yeah. will be bonkers if we beat Spurs.
It's mad. I mean, there's not a midweek free now, so February.
Yeah. No, because the League Cup semi-final is about 4 weeks apart, the two legs, because of fitting everything in the middle.
Yeah. Well, we've got to fancy our chances in one of those games. Spurs. And then you're in the semi-finals. So... You said earlier you'd be disgusted. No, what was your tip? Sorry. Well, if we didn't win a cup this season.
Oh, you'd be hearing from our lawyers. You know, as I said before, Eric always guarantees us a trophy. It's what he does. So we better win a trophy this year. It's that simple. I don't think we will. I think the draw is against us. And you look at that League Cup draw that we got with Eric. I mean, we've got a few hospital passes, didn't we? Some of the teams that you played. Newport County, Nottingham Forest at home later on in the competitions. And he got a little bit lucky with that. Okay, I know in the FA Cup later on he got Liverpool and City, and fair play to him for seeing those three. But the majority of games he got were very good.
I'm more confident about beating Arsenal after the other night than I was before. I think we're moving in the right direction. We've still got players who are incapable of putting the 100% effort in. But I think we can go to Ivory. I think we go to Arsenal and get a win there.
I mean, we should be start. You'd like to think in a cup, you've got a chance.
Yeah.
And we've got two tougher ways, but we're still in three competitions that, especially the Europa. I mean, you're winning Pilsen and, you know, you've got
to win that.
The other thing on Bruno, referring back to a previous podcast, it is bonkers he's played over 250 games for us already. That is how mad football is. To join just before COVID, so we're not even into... It'll be fifth year in January, and he's already played 200. So that's over 50 games.
Leicester have played 500 games.
Yeah, but that's...
That was his 500th game against Arsenal, I think. So that's what the commentator said.
Who's that?
Rashford.
No, Arsenal played their 500th game at the Emirates the other night.
They said something about Rashford or whatever it was. It was a ridiculous number of games.
You pay attention to every little minute.
Nobody can play 500 games against one club, can they?
No, I meant Rashford. He's played 500 times for United now or something.
Oh, I don't know.
Something ridiculous. I'm sure that's what he said.
I know the other night was Arsenal.
You mean he's attended 500?
Yeah, sorry, yes. He's been privy to 500 games.
I want to put Rashford's played 500 games.
I'm going to check. By the powers of our shit research.
I'm sure he said something ridiculous.
I reckon it would be, because you're going back to Jose time, right? Live on air. We are going to check. Do we count league only or live? The tension.
It's everything, isn't it?
Games, isn't it? Right, here we go.
This is very amateurish, isn't it?
Well, have you met us before?
Drum roll.
Yeah, please, something. Play a Christmas song. Because, right, he is on 424 games and 138 goals. So that's one in three.
I said something about it.
Anyway, that's another...
It's still ridiculous, though, isn't it?
Nathan, are you full of Christmas bonhomie?
I hope Nick's quiz would get the answers right.
I am now. I've got a Guinness.
You did fantastic, Ben. What's your final total?
50, I think. 50K. Yeah.
How do you feel?
Not too bad. Must be sore.
Christmas isn't for everyone. I'm going to lead on in a minute to Finn from Manchester Mind, and he explains how tough it is for some people and what... So we're going to lead on to Finn from Manchester Mind and why it's important, what we've done today, what that money does, and it really appreciated him coming down, so I'm going to lead into that now and then we're going to get daft. But thanks to him and thanks to everyone who's raised a penny, because clearly it makes a difference for what he said. So we're on the walk, and I'm kindly joined. He's very kindly come down, Finn, from Manchester Mind, to offer support on some Galaxy. No payment for that plug, but they were very nice. I'm munching on minstrels now. So thanks for this. It's appreciated.
Yeah, thanks for having me down. And it's really lovely to see you guys all getting together, doing something to help mental health across Manchester.
There's about 15 of us here, so it's a really good turnout. And more people, some have left already. So it's really, I mean, for me personally, it's... so important. What does this money do?
So the money that raised through challenges like your own counts towards our unrestricted income, and what that means is the money that we get from more official organisations, bids and grants, that's restricted, so we can only use it for certain purposes. The money raised through kind fundraisers such as yourself is all unrestricted income, which means that the charity can use it to develop new projects or support projects that might have lost funding from their original source. So, for example, last year, fundraising income alone helped to pay for our one-to-one adult counselling service, which is now one of the most important functions of the charity, offering free emotional support to anybody who needs it, as well as our listen and ear service, which is a weekly phone call service led by our volunteers and staff. And that was all paid for from the unrestricted income from fundraising. So it really means a lot to us when we have, kind fundraisers such as yourself doing great challenges like this.
And what else does Manchester Mind do?
So Manchester Mind has been in the community in Manchester for about 35 years. And our main mission is to improve mental health across the city. And as I mentioned before, that's morphed through a number of different services and provisions. Currently, we're focusing our strategy on making it easier to ask for help. As we all know, if you're suffering through a mental health challenge, it can feel like you're alone. And sometimes asking for help is the most difficult step to getting the support you need. So we, through our services such as the Listening Ear and the Welcome and Access, are trying to make it easier for people to ask for help and feel supported in their mental health.
I suffer. I've lost mates. There's sometimes no rhyme or reason, that you can feel the world's just imploding in you, and then sometimes, maybe even the next day, you can feel, oh, well, that just went, that just passed. There's no easy path, obviously, and I know it's more prevalent than ever. What would you say for anyone struggling or like coming up to Christmas, which isn't for everyone?
I think the main thing that I'd say that is, if anybody's struggling, to remember that you're not alone in your struggles. And the way you're feeling is perfectly valid. If you're based in Manchester, we offer support to anybody who refers themselves, so you don't need to speak to a GP or anyone who's struggling. We can help within Manchester, so that's Manchester Mind. If you don't live in Manchester, there are 105 local Mind associations across the country. We all have loads of resources and support, but I think the main thing to say is just, if you are suffering with your mental health, to reach out and remember that you're not alone. People will be there to support you.
And you're all right? Because it must be quite a tough job, challenging job, also a fulfilling one.
It can be a really tough job because, often when people... I work in the fundraising department, and often when people are fundraising, the reason that they're so passionately fundraising is because they have, as you mentioned, maybe lost loved ones or suffer from mental health themselves. So it can be... yeah, it can be a little bit tough and emotionally challenging, but at the end of the day, it's really fulfilling. and I care a lot about what I do. So
that's great.
Yeah, I think everybody across the charity feels the same way. It's a really nice organisation. Everybody's so caring. A lot of people have their own mental health difficulties, but I think at the end of the day, to know you're doing something positive and something good is it leaves me feeling happy when I leave work.
And that's sort of like, you know, Rob, I think of every day pretty much. I miss him. That, like a fanzine, and even nice just having chats with people on this walk.
Yeah.
You know, we're always there when we're selling if anyone wants to stop, and just, you don't have to buy the mag, just stop for a chat. That so many of you are donating each year. Like, this is our 8th one, we'll keep doing it as long as we were around, you know, like, it just means that we're actually doing something with a purpose, and I really look forward to this. And this one's a bit different because instead of us all doing individual feats and setting a target, I don't care how many laps I do, it's more just like collective, like meeting new people.
And it's a lovely, like, a lovely day just to all get together.
It's not raining.
I think it's
till later.
It's scheduled to rain later, but for the moment, it's just nice to be outside. We all know the sort of physical benefits the benefits to mental health from doing physical exercise as well, keeping active. So even just walking around the stadium, being around good friends and good people can have such a positive impact on your mental health. Thanks so much for.
And
for
what would the easiest way for someone to get in touch?
The easiest
for anything, you know, like for their own fundraising.
Yeah. So if it's fundraising related, we'd say email fundraising@manchestermind.org. If you're struggling with your mental health, you can go to our website, which is manchestermind.org. There's numbers on there, or we have a self-referral form if you prefer to do that method of communication rather than phone calls. We understand that's can be a little bit challenging. So if you are struggling, reach out, or if you wanted to do any fundraising, email fundraising@manchestermind.org.
Cheers, Finn. Really appreciate
Great,
that, mate.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks for joining us. Ben.
Are you looking forward to Christmas? Do you love Elf on the Shelf?
I hate Elf on the Shelf. Load of nonsense. But I am looking forward to Christmas. I said this year to my wife and kids I'm going to try and get into the Christmas spirit, because I'm normally a bit grumpy about it. So, yeah, up
Why
to now.
Why are you grumpy about it?
It's just all a bit over the top, isn't it? All the pressure to spend money and you know, enjoy yourself. I'm not into that.
Well, Phil's comment, like, in the new mag, do Christmas how you want to, don't be judged.
The only thing about Christmas is that it goes on too long in terms of at the start of December. It's like, and I think last year, when I was in Asia, I got back on Christmas morning. So I got back, went to my dad's, had Christmas, and that was it. Sound. I didn't have to have a month of everything else, and that's good.
But
for
some
me.
Of us who I love all, we've been dancing every night to five songs. It makes it special, but I'm seeing through the eyes of Albert, and it's I'm always daft for it anyway. But I do get there's so much pressure, there's so much intent, and some of it's so daft for profit.
Do you get Nathan's opinion on Love Actually? We've just dissected it. What do you think about Love Actually?
Never seen it.
Right, loves, loves and hates of the year. I'm going for United and Life. I'm going. The love was the cup final. To come out of nowhere, I'll be buzzing off that. I look back at the goals. I look back at the joy. I look back at the dad and his two lads in front of me that I took the photo. What they did, how it meant. Thank God we had it. The hate of the year is now the 66 quid United's disgust and just an ongoing repellent.
Take away moments like that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And it will remove us from that. My off love of the year is meeting, to link it to mine, because I go up and down, is meeting Adam Frost from Gardner's World at Chelsea. Not me, that scene, but going up and saying, with a tear in my eye, what that show and what gardening did to my mental health. Still now I go out for half an hour and I'm switched off from all the shit, and he went and he got it, and I thought, like, for someone to get it just meant it. And my hate of the year non-United is come back to me.
Well, love, obviously, definitely the cup final. I mean, so much so even Coggy gave me a hug that day, so I mean, that was that's obviously a special moment. I mean, look, the hate of the year has clearly been overshadowed by that, hasn't it, really? So obviously everyone's going to say the 66 ticket pound and concessions and kids. So I think that to try and pick a different answer, I think it's disappointing again to sack another manager. It's never a good thing, is it? So for footballing reasons, to try and pick something different, it's never good sacking a manager. And look, I know it didn't work out with Eric for a variety of different things, but that is a bad sign that the football club is not doing very well on the pitch. So I've got to go with that one. Love of the year for Man United, though. I know Nathan's already finished, but he's definitely been finishing all 47 European countries. That was good to finally get that over the line, because that's been a dream of mine since 2008. So to get that done this year has been...
Since Nathan had it first.
Well, actually, I started it before he got a passport, so let's not go into that one. So that's definitely been the love of the year. I don't know, Man United love, hate of the year. The very
my hate of the year...
Probably James Martin. Pep, I really
Pep
don't
Guardiola's
like
spitting all the time. I fucking hate it. Yeah. He's a dirty...
Pep Guardiola,
yeah. But he spits
Pep
all the time.
Pep for making us watching this play out the back. Nonsense.
Whatever happened to A, Bubble and Squeak, and B, I can see why this isn't anywhere anymore. But we in my day during the war, we used to have sweets that were designed like cigarettes that you'd hold in your mouth.
Yeah, those mints.
I wonder why they don't make those anymore. And you like, and I wonder why the tobacco firms were so heavy into lobbying. You know, like we actually used to pretend we were smoking at six. Right, love and hate. Big hate.
To be honest, I think it's hard to find a United love, really, but...
For the year?
Yeah.
Is it a love for United?
World Cup.
He didn't go, did he?
Yeah.
He didn't go, sorry.
No, but... I don't know, I think it's just... Love and hate. But I think it's just very overshadowed by...
Liverpool 4-3?
Yeah, all right, okay, that one. That was amazing. That was great.
That was good.
That'd be it. 100%. But yeah, I think everything's just overshadowed by, and like
not sticking to the process.
Overshadowed by the owners, like the new owners. Not, you know, not necessarily just the Glazers. We need to call the new owners out as well. And I think it just makes it harder and harder to want to engage with them. And the worst bit is. Is they'd want nothing more than for us to not engage with them.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Well, my love is like watching Christmas parties, is my love.
And your hate is me telling you off.
No, my hate is waking up to about 140 messages on a WhatsApp group.
Coggy.
When Danny, John, Riaz and Paul are having an handbank fucking argument.
My United love is the erotic moment when myself and Nick grabbed each other when Maynou got that second goal. I mean, it's superb, wasn't it, Nick? Absolutely superb.
You held me very tight.
Yeah. My hate is... My hate is what's happening at the moment. The total disregard and disrespect of the owners towards matchday fans. It's absolutely strange. And it's short-sighted because we're going to lose supporters, but more importantly, we're losing the young generation of supporters. And it's so short-sighted. It's disappointing.
Love and hate in general? In the wider world?
Well, I'm 64 now, so my love of the year is still being alive. As I'm getting on in life.
Only 64.
I saw there was a lot of raised eyebrows there. Yeah.
And my hate.
People talking about your age.
Fucking people in general, basically. I don't like people.
Yeah, but people en masse. But equally,
been watching about 20% of the since been there. People, so that's a lot of shit.
People individually are kind, caring, considerate. People are Red News readers. People are United fans.
Some people are.
No, Red News readers are.
I'm not talking about Red News readers, but the wider populace. Not so much.
But that's always been the case. Here's a question. Right, your love and hate, Ben. Sorry.
Well, from a United point of view, I think it's probably been said. Really, cup final is a standout moment by a mile. And Kobbie Maynou scoring in that final, and the hate, yeah, the way the ticket thing's gone in the last few weeks. Just to remind everyone, really, that, you know, as I said in the mag, meet the new owners, same as the old owners. They're all the same, aren't they? And it's not a surprise, but it's disappointing.
I forgot to mention this on a pod way back, but at Crystal Palace, a 17-year-old lad, Red, and I was selling, was hammered. So Seward said, "You're not going in." tried to take his ticket off him, and also said it's a safeguarding issue, we may need to get the police involved. So I said, look, come and stand with me, have some water. And he was trying to ring, and they have a safeguarding officer at Palace who came round, and I said, look, he's all right, look, he's definitely, you know, he's calmer now. And she said, look, I don't want to get the police involved. Well, I have to speak to a responsible adult. Rang the dad, and the dad's reaction was like, what the fuck have you done? But he said, he's all right. So I said, like, he's all right, he's with me. And then they said, look, we're not going to get the police involved. You've calmed down half an hour later. Go in, but don't do anything. And I thought, fucking common sense at a Premier League club. It was almost like, and I said to the lady, she said, I'm the safeguarding issue for anyone, you know, that's got issues here. I said, it just seemed like, you know, what an outstanding, where that, where someone would might say that's woke, but common sense, 17. So that, or maybe whatever the age thing. And he was hammered at first, but he calmed down. The other thing, people you didn't used to like, Ian Wright. But what's Tony Adams' is Soccer Box with Gary Neville, which is really good. I'd recommend it. And right, here's a question before we go on the quiz. And then, what decade or century, apart from ones you've lived in, would you choose to visit or live in?
60s, so I can see the 68 Cup final.
I'd pick the 50s. And I'd want to go to where I'm from. Do you know, there's no point in going to the somewhere that you've not. I want to see what the difference is. And I'd go to the 50s because I've got pictures of my granddad, suited and booted, going, like, just to go to the pub. And I'd love just to go to that, just go for a pint with him. Just, you know what I mean? That's what I'd pick. That's what I'd pick.
Ben?
Probably the 60s, like Nick, just because. Love all the music and stuff, so it just seemed like that would have been
the hedonism.
A cool generation to have been around, yeah.
The hedonism.
The hedonism, yeah. And the 68 and all that, yeah. 60s, yeah.
I don't know, if I'm brutally honest, I don't know, because the 40s was the war, and the
40s. No, he said decades you weren't around.
Oh, yeah. First half of the 50s, then.
Well, from a United point of view, it'd be the 50s to be able to watch the babes. But generally, I'd love to have been a gangster in New York in the 20s and 30s.
Chicago.
What, yeah, or Chicago.
I could see you as a shit Al Capone.
You're just a shit Al Capone. sang by the West Ham Chicken Run. Never. Sorry.
There was no need for that, was there? There's no need.
Serious no. Point of view, and you get abused.
I know, and I was going to explain.
That's for all the edits earlier.
Right, I was going to explain to them the reason why. I'd love to have been a gangster in the US.
And had me put to shot. I'm disappointed none of you would have stopped Hitler, by the way, you know, like. Because that was always the school answer.
I'd absolutely have signed up.
I would have
stopped Hitler. Yeah, that wasn't the question. All right, so what decade would you like to
back
live
to
in?
And by the way, Barney's not saying he's going to stop Hitler either, has he?
But yeah. I would say, I've sometimes thought, I'd love to go back to, like, say, the early 1900s or maybe late 1800s. But I know that me being me, I'd go there, like, transported in a TARDIS. I'd have a drink of a cup or something, and I'd get dysentery, and I'd just die. I'd be dead in a minute. And it'd just be like, so, you know, like, a rat would just bite me. The first thing I'm off a time machine. Oh, he's got the plague in. Right, are we ready for this?
I just think this week, obviously, it's been really sad seeing about Kath, the receptionist, dying at United. And I think, like, seeing all the responses from all the players, she obviously meant a lot. And one thing that I don't know who I mentioned it to before, and it's just like, maybe, you know, it's obviously just pure coincidence, but for that to happen in the same week that the club feels like it's gone further and further away from what it was, it's like, that's gone. Do you know what I mean? Like, and like, she's symbolic of that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. She's been around forever and has just been.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I maybe know, that's me looking into it, but it's just, it feels poetic in a way. Do you know what I mean?
But I would say that I agree with you, but at the same time, I'm not sure that is gone, because I think there are still people like Kath in the club, and there's still, you know, people like us sat around this table. So, you know, there's always going to be a a kind of a conflict, isn't it, between the kind of global capitalist machine and actually the people that make it up.
We have got rid of a lot, though, Ben. There are. Someone sorted us, helped us today, you know, but there are less and less. And we've lost, you know, Alan Trafford, a lovely lad from the Euroways, a lot of you would know, and Rob Blanchett from written for the Mag, you know, his wife, his family have got messages because I sent the Mag with a tribute. You think of those people who won't be around at Christmas, that's fucking heartbreaking. You know, like, sometimes there is no rhyme or reason to it, and that's like, I don't know.
So, just on the going back to the ticket thing, I was sent a video by a guy I work with, who's a Liverpool fan, of like the protest last weekend, because it was United and Everton fans came together, and also Liverpool and City fans. And it was a Labour MP in Burn, who's a Liverpool fan, was sort of talking about killing the goose that lays the golden egg. And I said, my granddad used that exact line about football in the 90s, 30 years ago. You know, I said, my worry is like the horse is bolted now, you know, the protests are going. But, you know, he made the point to me that, you know, you can't give up, you've got to keep fighting, haven't you? Like, maybe to some extent the horse has bolted, but it doesn't mean you've got to keep fighting. And that's what I think as you know, not everyone will agree with this, but I think for me, ultimately, fans of different clubs do need to come together, because everyone's got the same issues, everyone's being attacked in the same way. You know, it doesn't. The rivalry is always going to be there on the pitch, but on issues like this, I think it is positive that there is.
And to be fair to the spirit of Shankly, they've done a good interview this week, haven't they? And they basically echo what we've been saying on this podcast for ages. And I think that if you can see clubs like United and Liverpool come together and unite over an issue, that should raise eyebrows in a footballing community. And if that doesn't, then God help us all, we're really going to struggle. But football's too big and too bold, and there's too many people that are just like us for other clubs as well that be saying the same thing. But it's just a question of how many people are going to lie down and accept it, and how many people still want to fight.
You've got to fight for everything, because you look at everyone around this table, I think without exception, every single one of us, it's been passed down generations in our families. You know, we all come from, you know, grandparents, parents, we've got kids who we take. So that's too important. You can't give up fighting for that, can you? Because, you know, we want to be taking our own kids, grandkids, in the same way we were taking, you know.
Great grandkids as well, sorry.
The one thing on the Tony Adams, he said, you know, going back, he said, like, what I always, and he was an oaf and a donkey, you know, all the abuse, but he went, I always appreciated that the paying public have paid, a lot of money to see us give 100%. And I've got in notes from ages ago, for all the debate about Bruno, for all the, you know, when he does stuff like the cup final, it is a thing of beauty. For all the frustrations, stop your world passes. I'm talking loads of tangents here. We better get on to this in a minute, haven't we? I like the red lines on the shorts at home sometimes. If you see them in a specific light, the red lines are great. right, what decade have we said? Hang on. Oh, the Japanese photographer with all those photos of the 1970s,
oh, yeah,
red, is one of my loves of the year, because I look at them. But one of the things is, one of the signs says, to Martin Buchan, it says the fans need goals, and I thought 50 years on we're still fucking asking for the same thing for someone to score. Right, come on then, Nick, here we go. By popular demand, i.e. that's you, Bev. Nick's dancing.
We have to pause that after so many seconds or we'll get done for royalties.
No, not even the man who created Play Your Cards Right will sue this for royalties. It'd just be happy that someone, just happy that somewhere someone is listening to my music. Right, come on.
So we're back for PYCR 1B. No, because we've been walking around all day.
Right, no visuals.
Visuals.
I cannot believe
that. Bruce Forsyth mask on, and all they did was get a
picture. We're all together.
You tried to big yourself up. You claim this is the best fucking quiz on any podcast anywhere in the world.
And you've got
no visuals.
Absolute amateur hour.
Nick,
who'd have thought that in this podcast?
Fucking your wife down, you left your mum down, you've let everybody down.
Right, come on. So how did we do it?
Well, I'm going to explain the rules. Are you excited?
Yeah. Not interested.
So it's topical. It's topical, right? So we've got a new manager. So what I've decided to do, instead of doing appearances for players who play your caps right, going to do player caps right for managers in terms of games managed.
Oh.
So I'm going to give you a manager and I'm going to tell you how many games that they've managed, and then we're going to progress down. There's 10 questions.
Good game,
10.
Good game, good game.
Thank you very much. Good guy, good guy, good guy. Dan will get sued for that, definitely. And then you've just got to tell me if it's higher or lower. But it's self-assessment, so you can keep track of your own score.
I've seen this, so I'm not taking part.
So
you lucky bastard.
You beat me so well.
Before Nick starts his first question, we took the piss out of Shane's cargo pants buying them at the cup final. Do you know what I had?
Sure.
For the whole of June on Amazon, they're listening to us. They are actually listening to us. Fucking
cargo shorts.
He's saying that to the phone. Very good, Nick. Right, come on then.
Okay, so we'll start with the joy that is Ralph Ragnick. Oh. Ralph Ragnick managed 29 Manchester United games. Now, this is all competitions. So
oh, did it?
Is it league? Oh,
no. Fucking hell.
How many of those did you enjoy?
So Ralph Ragnick was at 29 games. What the crowd want to know is, did Wilf McGuinness manage more or less games?
More.
Than
I think he was 40.
Is it higher or lower?
Higher
or lower?
Higher.
50 odd.
So we've got four hires. You are correct, it is higher. Wilf McGuinness managed 88 Manchester United.
I know he got to the two semi-finals.
Next question.
You know, I'm the glamorous assistant because I'm keeping scores.
Oh, wait, yeah, I like this. Oh, that's
well
brilliant.
Done.
Are you going to put initials?
Glamorous assistants have gone downhill.
This is semi-professional.
So the next one is David Moyes.
Yeah.
Did he manage higher or lower than Wilf McGuinness?
Lower.
Oh, lower. He got one season. Yeah. We didn't play 88 in a season.
Okay.
60.
You are correct. He was 51.
That's
not long. I know it would have been.
So that was also long.
It's ridiculous.
So
we sacked
him. Everyone got that right, yeah?
After 51 games, that is a joke.
51 games.
We had some moments, though, didn't he? 5-0 in Leverkusen.
That was a moment.
I know, yeah. Still
Evra in Munich.
Olympiacos.
72 crosses against Fulham at home.
Yeah, forever dying out on that Patrice Evra goal. I'm sure he sits there watches it on YouTube.
The best 30 seconds.
58, yeah.
It's not the best 30 seconds of my life, let's put it that way, but moving on. So, next one is Franco Farrell.
Oh.
Is that higher or lower than David Moyes?
Higher
or lower than David Moyes?
Yeah, higher.
That is correct, it is higher. Franco Farrell managed
about that, though.
81 games.
Well, it's not that much,
Next one
Nick,
is.
Can I just say, as someone who designs assessments for a living, the level of demand here.
Come on, make it harder.
It's getting harder. The next one is Erik ten Hag. Ooh. Oh, sorry, that's not next.
No,
it is next.
Hey.
Is that higher or lower than Franco Farrell?
What, higher or lower than 81?
Higher.
Yeah, two and a half seasons higher.
That is higher. That is correct. Now this is where we get interesting.
So we've literally got everyone right.
Yeah. This is where it gets interesting.
Does it?
Sorry, what?
Does it? Does it really?
He
had 128. Is that higher or lower than Louis van Gaal, his Dutch compatriot?
Lower.
There is not.
I'm going Bengal lower.
In it.
Higher.
There's not a lot in it.
Higher. I'm going lower for Bengal.
You're going higher?
So we've got a split now.
Then.
Well done. The level of demand has gone up.
I said it was getting harder. I was just teasing you, and this is what we do.
You've gone
lower.
He's gone lower.
Ten Hag higher than Van Gaal.
So, which one?
Higher for Ten Hag.
So you go
lower then.
So
you're lower then.
I said that, didn't I?
It's close.
Van Gaal lasted two seasons.
Yeah, I know, but.
So
he's close.
Yeah, I know, but.
He had the Euro.
So Van Gaal got into the FA Cup final, but what did he do in Europe? League games will be the same.
Yeah. Well, we had a lot of Europa. We had the Scouse Europa game.
Yeah.
Quarter finals where they did this. I think lower, though.
I'd go just about lower.
Yeah,
I'd
go lower. Everyone's
going lower.
It's
lower.
It's probably too higher or so.
It is lower. Just. At 103.
Everyone's on fire.
103 compared to.
And 2-1.
compared to 128?
Right, well, we'll ask the statistician over here. Is 128 to 103 just a little bit lower? I think that's quite a dramatic 25. Data.
That's sort of given almost, the numbers we're talking about, almost, I would say that is fairly close.
That's about 19%.
It's been closer than all the other answers. All right, okay. Moving on. Louis Van Gaal, is that higher or lower than Dave Sexton?
Oh, lower.
Lower. Much. Sexton would have been.
Sexton was higher.
Sexton had three seasons, 120 cup games. Sexton would have been on about 100.
Because he looks like he's struggling.
150. Sexton, I'm down 150.
150 for Sexton.
I mean, Sexton no Europe though. Didn't he had a cup final.
Yeah,
I'd go higher.
Higher Sexton 150.
Have we just all blown it?
Everyone's gone higher.
It is higher.
How
correct.
Many?
When's it getting harder, this quiz?
201.
Oh. Or in your words, very close.
Okay, that's fine. But is that higher?
What makes this quiz
for the listeners, this is as bad as it sounds.
I mean, Ben didn't know the answer.
Lower or higher, that's it.
Ben had no idea the answer. You sat there going, well, he did this and he did that. Ben had no idea and you all give him the answer.
No more words, you've just got to say higher or lower.
Do you know what I mean? You don't get this and go, well, you know what, well, if I play the seven of spades...
Is it a one-finger up or a two-finger down? Sorry.
Is that higher or lower than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
No discussion.
Hang on. Who was the last person?
It was Dave Sexton, and now we're on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Oh, they got lower.
The thing is, you'll forget all of the COVID games.
Oh, here we go.
I say lower. 201.
No discussion.
No discussion.
You're
on open to team. No discussion.
Because people aren't discussing it at home.
I just said lower because.
Solskjaer lower.
Lower.
Higher. Oh. So Dave Sexton was 201. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was 168. Sorry, Coggy. Now that's close.
You get eliminated.
But it's not as close as the next one. Solskjaer, higher or lower than Jose Mourinho?
No, but it's actually Jose
we're
saying
is higher or lower than Solskjaer.
Get your questions right.
Yeah, I think people can follow along at home.
161.
I think they're asleep.
Solskjaer was 168. Solskjaer was 168. Is Mourinho higher or is he lower than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
Lower.
Oh, sorry.
Mourinho lower.
How many was Ole?
168.
Going lower.
Lower. Higher. Barney's gone higher.
Be very close.
This is close. This is one of the closest ones.
Yeah.
So what have we gone for?
Lower. Everyone's gone lower but Barney.
It is lower.
Oh.
A 144.
It's a 24. That's not close.
The next one is the Doc. Tommy Doc.
Tommy.
Who was your favourite player in the Doc?
Do you know what? I mean, I love Gerry Daly, by the way, but obviously Martin Buchan.
Steve Cupp on Gordon Hill,
just
though.
Just to clarify, Martin Buchan isn't the answer to a higher or lower question.
No, that was me. That was me.
So 4-4.
That needs to be facetious.
Tommy Doc.
That is the longest word of the pod.
Sorry, no, what was Mourinho? 1-4-4.
1-4-4 is the Doc higher or lower.
Higher for me.
I'm going higher.
Ben's gone higher. Barney?
Close.
Barney's gone higher.
So Doc is what? What was Doc at four seasons? Yeah, higher.
What have we gone for? Is it?
I'm sort of trying to think.
Makes great podcast content with you thinking, by the way, Paul.
click.
We can hear it, though.
It was longer than
a
year. Going higher.
Higher? Everyone's gone higher.
It was higher. The Doc was at 228. 228. And final question, with Paul and Ben on for full marks. Suggest maybe you pick different answers to gamble.
Not just us on full marks, is it?
Yeah.
Ron Atkinson, final question. Higher or lower?
No discussion. Higher or lower?
Third one.
Two
to
right.
Is this the final one?
This is the final one. The Doc was 228.
Coggy's gone higher.
Yeah, 100% higher. 100%.
The answer is, drum roll please. Higher! Yeah. 292. Thanks very much.
That's a dramatic increase.
So there you go. Have we got a...
Who won?
Well,
you got a tiebreaker.
Oh, yeah, I didn't realise I haven't come prepared with a tiebreaker.
But you should have done.
Well, I will. Wait, you bear with me.
Should we chat about something else?
Yeah. I'm already
here,
on this.
Here, because... because I'm listening to five Christmas songs a night. Feliz Navidad, which I didn't like from Shane. I like that. Last Christmas has grown on me again. Yeah, but I didn't like it at first. I don't know, when I was younger, I never liked it.
First favourite Christmas song?
I don't know. I've not got an answer.
What's the question?
Favourite Christmas song?
My favourite Christmas song, predictable, but right now, is Fairy Tale of New York. However, when I was younger, it was Slade's Merry Christmas. And would you like me to share the story I told you the other day about?
Go on.
I was in a club in Ashton in 1997, and that came on at midnight, and within about 30 seconds there were bottles and chairs flying all over the dance floor, Merry Christmas Ashton style, and I went home with blood all over my hands and my mum wasn't happy.
And that's his favourite Easter song.
Jingle bells, oh what fun it is to see United win away.
I think mine's Silent Night.
Traditional.
Yeah. I do like the Sam Ryder one as well, sorry for that.
The tiebreaker is ready.
Right, okay.
Right, this is just for Paul and Ben.
It's the closest one, so we're going to draw lots. We need to see who goes first. We need to do rock, paper, scissors to see who goes first.
Fuck's sake. Paul's going to lever you in a second. He's had enough.
Which hand's
got the sweet in? Go on.
Don't say that to an old man.
So Ben,
do you
want to
go first or do you want to go second?
Yeah,
that's a question. I'll go second.
Okay. How many games?
You just ate your chocolate.
So what was the previous number?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does.
It doesn't matter.
It's higher or lower.
Yeah, no, it's not. Oh, it's closest to.
Alright.
So, how many games did Sir Matt Busby manage for Manchester United? Give me a number. Closest to it wins.
Paul's first.
This is the advantage.
That's a good one, though.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks very much.
I've waited an hour.
This is not my first time of making a quiz.
It's good because he didn't have that in his bank, did he? He had to think that up there.
Yeah.
I'm just going. Had to Google that.
It's nothing to do with you.
Right now. It's nothing to do with you.
All right, sorry. Can I give an answer? I feel excluded. Right.
Can you believe somebody brings a quiz? Can you believe somebody brings a quiz and doesn't bring a tiebreaker?
Ridiculous.
Fucking unprofessional.
Oh, we've got one.
You just have it. He's just made that up.
He's making it up as he goes along.
Exactly.
10 seconds.
650.
Oh,
650.
I don't know.
651.
I'm going.
Take a guess.
I would go around
889.
I was going to say 898, but I'm confident it's more than 600.
Scoggy, you want to make a guess?
No.
No, does he? The correct answer. Oh, you just want to make a guess.
It's basically 25 seasons, isn't it? So there you're talking 25.
That's 1,000.
He didn't make 1,000, though. I don't think he made 1,000, did he?
1,140.
Oh, fucking hell, sorry.
Well done, Ben.
Sorry.
The champions of PYCR.
I can tell you, obviously at Christmas, you miss relatives and miss mum every day. And I've got photos strategically placed. Someone told me that. Around the house to make you smile because time heals. So I put photos of everyone that I've lost and like around the house. And I still see the photo of Mum and Samat. And knowing how important Samat was to Mum, I didn't get me in the photo. I said, I'll take the photo in a shitty old camera because we saw him, met him a couple of times through chance and all that. And I remain the aura he had. And I've seen it with Fergie that they could shut a room down. Like, say, you know, they come in now. And the whole place goes quiet. To have that ability, you see it so rarely in life. And I've seen it with and Eric.
Did you know about my story of meeting him, Sir Matt? So back in the day, probably talking late 80s, you could go to the Europa Suite at Old Trafford during the week for a bite to eat. So I took somebody there for lunch, and Sir Matt was having a meal with Martin Edwards. Well, they'd just finished, actually. And I don't normally do this, but I just went up to him and I just went, look, I've been, you know, wanted to meet you all my life, Sir Matt. You know, just thank you for everything you did for Manchester United. And he went, thanks very much. And then I went to my table. And about 10 minutes later, Martin Edwards came up to me and said, Sir Matt said, do you want to join him in the stand? So from the Europa Suite, you could go into the main stand. He's having a smoke. So I went, left this colleague of mine who had taken for lunch. And I went and sat with Sir Matt for about 40 minutes. Brilliant. He's smoking his pipe, just talking about United. Brilliant. And football and everything. And
that's special,
particularly Georgie Best and Duncan Edwards. Brilliant. And it's one of the greatest moments in my life. One of the greatest moments.
That's more than a moment.
Goosebumps listening.
Yeah, absolutely superb. What a bloke.
Christmas message to people. Well, my missus who puts up with me and all I do, because there's a consequence of Red News and the mag. But she said, what do you want for Christmas, Barney? I said, world peace. So she went down the stairs saying, I'm getting him that then.
Good girl.
One message to readers, listeners.
Manchester United is more than what happens on the football pitch. It's a community that I don't think anybody can match. So just remember that.
Why do the club piss on it?
Stick together and fight for the cause.
Stick together in the 1980s, I'd think the pub's being attacked.
Enjoy Christmas, remember what's important, be nice to each other.
Yeah, just hope everyone has a lovely time, and I've just checked and we're up to £2,767 quid. So thank you for everyone. Brilliant. For that.
And if you want, stop by whenever we're selling, please. We won't have the answers, that's why we do the mine. I don't have the answers, but all I know is, like, we all go through it, everyone does. And I know it's a cliche, but you're not alone. Anyway, have a good one, everyone. And if you want to just do it... Oh, sorry, Nick. Sorry. That was... What would Freud say about that, about play your caps right?
Freud or Forsyth?
Hang on.
Well, Matt.
Who does the best Bruce Forsyth impression?
Nick. Nice to see you.
No, that's fucking... That's a Cockney Bruce. That's like I did.
Is he not Cockney? Is he? I can't remember what he is.
See you. Bruce, go on, pass the light.
Anyway. My point is, Christmas is coming up, and I agree with all the messages that have been said. However, just remember, celebrations are for Christmas.
Coggy.
And if you're one of the people that puts the wrappers back in the celebration box, then you deserve to pay £66 for your ticket at Manchester United.
Who was that? Fair play, we got a confessional. People love Bounty, I'm not a Bounty fan. Goes back, people who love Kit Kat, that's really odd. Yeah. But loads of people grabbed the bounties when Coggy kindly bought wafers and celebrations.
Wafers.
And
wafers.
I thought, fucking hell, Bonanza, I'm going for the Mars, I'm going for the Twix, as everyone went for bounties. Bounties are
the
you
best.
Mad?
The
seriously.
Sponsored. Once again, sponsored by Chloe's.
By nobody. There's two sets of people I'd have arrested. It's bounty lovers and Kit Kat who have that as their top chocolate, and people who go to their best mate's missus's house and have a placard saying, I really love you, but enough now. What the fuck is that about? Take care, everyone. Thank you. And thank you for all of you doing this and a year of this.
So the regiment.
Who's going to do that?
Oh, we could have played them out with the play your caps right theme tune.
No. End it. Goodbye, everyone. To the regiment. Thank you very much.
You can't even. You're so slow. You've not even done it.
The adverts. I've got to get the adverts on YouTube.
Oh,
and everything.
Right. Bye.